Well, let's open our Bibles. I'm going to just continue here on this subject of thanksgiving and praise. And let's open our Bibles to just look at these scriptures we've been looking at. 1 Corinthians 15, if we can. First Corinthians chapter 15, and actually before you do that, why don't you flip over, I want to just read Psalm 100 as we get started here, then we can go to 1 Corinthians 15, Psalm 100. Father, we thank you for your word, thank you that it is life to us, it is bread for us, for our spirits. And we thank you that as we meditate upon it, as we focus upon it, you said the entrance, and we let it in, the entrance of your word giveth light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. So, Father, we thank you for understanding, for revelation into your word. We thank you for it. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for unfolding your word to us. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Father, we lift up this great nation that we live in, where the gospel goes forth unhindered. And Father, we lift up, as you said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, that first of all, we're to offer up supplications, prayers, and intercessions, supplications and giving of thanks for all men and for those who are in authority, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. For this is your will. So, Father, we lift up all those who are elected and appointed officials, not only in this local area and the state of New York, but also in the government in Washington, D.C., and we ask in the name of Jesus, that you release angels into those settings to turn their hearts towards heaven, that you make just laws. And Satan, we remind you and bind you and forbid you to continue stirring up strife and causing problems in our country. And we command you to cease and be still in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that Jesus is Lord over this county. Jesus is Lord over New York State. And Jesus is Lord over this United States. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 100, wonderful psalm here. Make what? A joyful noise unto who? The Lord. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, it says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He giveth us the victory. Hallelujah. Now, isn't it interesting, you know, sometimes tense, you know what I mean, T-E-N-S-E, the tense of a word means something, doesn't it? So if we look at this here, what is this word? It says giveth. Is giveth present tense or past tense? I hear a whole lot of, how many of you teachers, English majors, how many is that? Is it present tense or past tense? Good. Some of you weren't sure. I heard past tense and I'm going, Really? Okay. Giveth or give or giveth is what? Present tense. Past tense would be he gave us the victory. No, he giveth us the victory. So this is present tense, and you could also say future tense. Now look at the context of this. Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. Is he thanking God for something that hasn't happened to him yet? Yeah. Because he's talking about here, you can go right on back up. He says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. Has that happened? No. He's talking about this mortal must put on immortality, so that when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in what? Victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's thanking him for something that is present and future, not past tense here. So we can see here, and you can the New Living says, but thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible in basic English, but praise be to God who gives us strength to overcome through our Lord Jesus Christ. So think about this. When we were yet sinners, Christ did what? He died for us. So we hadn't experienced it yet. But thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory. That's future for a lot of us, right? So it's present tense and future tense. So when you think about this, it's when Paul is thanking him for something, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, this is faith speaking here. Takes faith to thank God for something that you haven't experienced yet. Right? I mean, most of us, we say, well, thank God for the victory that I have. Maybe you haven't experienced the full victory in something, but you're thanking him for something. That's faith. Right? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 2. We've looked at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, verse 14, now thanks be unto God, which does what? Always causes us to what? Triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. This word always is, if you just look this up, it means at all times, always. So it's not past tense. Same thing, causeth, he didn't always caused us, it's causeth, right? That wouldn't even make sense, always caused. No, always is present and future tense. It's he always causeth us to do what? Triumph in Christ. So as we were sharing, this here is where we're not reserving our praise until we see something. We're releasing our thanksgiving and praise before we see something. Right? We thank God for something that what? We received. When we receive something by faith, what do we add on to that? Thank you. Thanks. Thanksgiving. Right? And that's what we do. So you can see here in these two scripture verses when it says he giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. You can see the connection between thanks and victory and what else? Triumph. So there's a connection here. And we also, we highlighted on Sunday the story of the 10 lepers, that as they went, they were what? They were healed. And you can see here that Jesus, when they cried and shouted, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes I'll take the time to look up these words, and it's interesting when you go over to Luke 17 and verse 11, and you can look at this story here. And this story here, they're lifting up their voices and shouting, Master, have mercy on us. Or you could say, have compassion on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So we're just sharing, if Jesus said to you, go show yourself to the priests, he was basically, why would you go to the priest to be checked out if you were healed, if you weren't healed? In other words, now it says, as they went, they were healed. So when he said, go show yourself to the priest, that manifestation hadn't happened yet. So they had to leave by faith. They had to go believing that what he said was so. I'll tell you, that's insightful, because to us, so many times, just like when we were reading here where Brother Hagin said, the power of God went into you. Okay, and then don't believe that the healing power is working in their body. See, and he said, you didn't add any faith to it. Well, they had to add faith to what Jesus said. They had to leave to go show yourself to the priest. Now, for us, sometimes that doesn't really register because we didn't live in that society. We didn't live under the law where we if we were unclean, we shouldn't have even been out in society. And you read all through the book of Leviticus and all the Old Testament where they had to be removed from society for a certain number of days. Then after that, after things might be cleared up, they got to go to the priest, have it checked out, and then they're adding more things on it. So you look at that and say, well, look, they had to have faith to leave just on Jesus' word. Go show yourself to the priest. And all 10 of them are going, okay, what are we going to do when we get there? Sure hope our skin's clean. Right? But they went, and it said, as they went, they were healed. But this is what caught my attention. In verse 15, it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He did what? With what kind of voice? A loud voice. I looked that word up. You know what that word is in the Greek? Megas. Like mega voice. Mega. It's M-E-G-A-S. Mega voice. It's like a loud voice. Jesus! He's yelling. He's shouting at the top of his lungs. Right? A mega voice. And you know what got me thinking? I just wanted to see, okay, how many other references in the New and Old Testament, or mainly in the New, listen to some of these other where, now again, there's others because megas can mean something else for different scripture verses, but this is just referring as far as praise and thanksgiving. Listen to this. Matthew 2:10, when the wise men, or it says, and this is when the star appeared, it says, when they saw the star, the they is the wise men, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Great is mega. Oh. They rejoiced with exceeding mega joy, right? They weren't quiet about it. Listen to this. This is another one. Matthew 27, 46. Jesus is hanging on the cross. And he says, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice. Mega voice. That made me stop and think. Here he's gone through whipping, being nailed to the cross. And he cries out with a loud voice. Whew. That made me stop and think for a bit. I'll tell you it did, because I'm thinking, look what the master went through. And he cried with a mega voice. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He didn't whisper it. Here's another. And then when he yielded up the ghost in verse 50 of Matthew 27, and when he cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. Here's another one. This is the last one here. There's so many. John 11, verse 43. This is Jesus speaking where Lazarus is concerned. See, sometimes we read over these words, and it's just interesting to me. It says here, and when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He spoke with a loud voice. So going back to this, this leper cried with a loud voice. And did what? It says here in verse 15, and when he saw that he was healed, he turned back with a loud voice and glorified God. Hallelujah. He didn't whisper it. He glorified God. And then it goes on and it says, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So you know, and then it goes down in verse 18, and Jesus saying, there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. So we were just drawing the connection between thanksgiving and glorifying God. That thanksgiving is glorifying God. So we can also, let's go over to Romans chapter 4. And we can see here that giving glory to God, Abraham did. Romans chapter 4. Let me get this page here. It'd be stuck. In verse 17, he said, I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And you can go down in verse 20, he said, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, doing what? Giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So that's why it's important when God promises things that he calls those things sometimes that be not as though they were. Sometimes he may say something to you and speak something to you, you need to not be, as this here, you need to be persuaded that what he promised, what he spoke to you, he's full able to bring it to pass. He's well able to bring it to pass. And we need to just do what? Not be moved, not stagger at circumstances. So here you can see here that he gave glory to God for the things that he spoke and promised. He did what? He said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So let's take another look here at Psalm 34. We were looking at that Sunday, but I want to look at it just again for some. Look at this one word in here. Psalm 34. In the beginning verses here, starting in verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall do what? Make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. This word, there were a couple of words that I looked at here. One is magnify. And what we were talking about on Sunday is what you magnify is going to become magnified, right? Right? It's going to become bigger to you. The more you magnify something, the more you talk about it, the more you think about it, it's going to become magnified. This word, it means to make great, to cause to grow, or it also means to become great or important, to be promoted or make powerful. So something that you magnify becomes more powerful, more significant. You give it more space. You give it more time in your thinking. You know how people say, I'm not going to let that have space in my head. I'm just not going to think about that. So something to think about is that, you know, you may not be able to control all the circumstances and situations that affect you or be around you. You may not be able to control that, but you can absolutely control how you respond to it. You can't control situations that happen in your life. Not everything, you can't. But you can certainly control how you respond to it. And you can respond to things with, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's going to take an effort and some faith to do that. So what we magnify is going to become of greater importance to us. So just like we were sharing, some things, it's, you know, we've lived in this earth for a certain time, so we develop habits, all of us do. And so we're going to have to change habits. This is one habit here to change, is to bless God and get into the habit of thanking God. Not for everything, but in everything. And continually, thank God, bless God. And the more you do that, things will begin to change in your life. Are we all there yet? No. But as we continue to do it, we become more apt to thank God in a situation. When something hits us, we go, praise God, he's going to work it out. Praise God, it's going to work out. I don't know how, and maybe it'll catch you off guard. Maybe you might go take a deep breath, but you're going to go, thank God, I don't know how he's going to work it out, but it's going to work out. It's going to work out. Thank God. Thank God. Bless God. And the more we do that, then our thanksgiving brings glory to God. Our thanksgiving puts some things in motion. I had a member come out. I said to her on Sunday, I said, I want you to share this. I won't be here, but I want you to share this. I do. I want you to share it. Because she was saying some circumstances happened. And, you know, and I won't share all of it because then I'll take the thunder away from it. But there were some circumstances that happened in her life, one thing, and it cost some money, and then another thing cost some money. And they're looking at this bill. And she just said, I heard what she said, and I chose to thank God. I chose to thank God. I kept thanking God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to bless you in all of this. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to thank you. And then she said, her husband got a job to cover that amount of money. And I said, see, that's what I'm talking about. She was rejoicing because she didn't see it, but she chose to thank God. She said, and you know, it was not a mega amount of money, but for them it was. And then she said, well, thank God. Bless God. I don't know how he's going to work it out, but bless God. Thank you, Jesus. And she said, on the heels of that thanksgiving, here comes this money coming in that covered the expense of these repairs. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I said, you know what? We need to hear these testimonies from people that choose to work the word. And that was just one. So I said, you know what? People need to hear that. They need to hear that. You read the scripture, but you put it into practice, not saying we're not. But it was just somebody that shared something. And I said, we need to hear that. And give glory to God. And thank him for answering your thanksgivings. Hallelujah. So she was just basically saying, I'm endeavoring to cultivate what? A lifestyle of thanksgiving. So this other word here in Psalm 34 got me to just thinking about this. In Psalm 34, in this second verse, it says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. That word boast got me to thinking. It said here, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Psalm 44:8, it says, in God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever. In God we boast. Psalm 69 and verse 30, it says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. How do we magnify God? With thanksgiving. See, we're not magnifying the problem. It says here we're magnifying God with thanksgiving. Psalm 147, verse 1, it says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto who? Our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is what? Comely. Hallelujah. So we can increase here our capacity to receive from him by doing what? Praising him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's turn over here for a moment to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We didn't look at this Sunday, but this is another good scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Starting in verse 8. Now, this is talking about God's grace here. And talking about increasing something through magnifying it, magnifying the Lord. But look at starting in verse 8, it says, we are what? Troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have familiar scripture here, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Now look at verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. So this is saying here that the abundant grace that gets poured out, and some translations, the Amplified, it says, for all these things are taking place for your sake, so that the more grace, divine favor, and spiritual blessing extends to more and more people and multiplies through the many, the more thanksgiving may increase and redound to the glory of God. So God's increased grace causes what? It initiates what? More thanksgiving in people. So what? More grace, more thanksgiving. More thanksgiving, more grace. So we can see here that, and listen to this, this is another translation, the Complete Jewish Bible, it says in verse 15, all this is for your sake, so that as grace flows out to more and more people, it may cause thanksgiving to overflow and bring glory to God. That's just so clear right there. Let me read that again. I'm competing with the choo-choo here. 2 Corinthians 4, this is the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, all this is for your sakes, so that as grace flows out to more and more people, it may cause thanksgiving to overflow and bring glory to God. See this here? Thanksgiving does what? Brings glory to God. And more grace and grace poured out on, as this says here, flows out to more and more people, it may cause thanksgiving to overflow. What kind of grace? Healing grace. Prosperity grace. Salvation is a grace for salvation. You don't think that that man that was healed, that came back, one of the 10 lepers, he came back and glorified God with what? Thanksgiving. So more and more grace poured out on people causes what? Thanksgiving to God. So we can say more grace, more thanksgiving. More glory to God. You see that from the scripture. So when we take the time to give more thanksgiving to God and we boast upon him, it gives glory to him. It honors him. It blesses him. Hallelujah. And so that thanksgiving will expand and grow in us as we take the time to do that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that's something to think about. And let me just see here. I didn't have any other scripture verses. Let me take a look here. Turn over to Psalm 33. We'll look at this scripture here. Psalm 33 and verse 1. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous," Psalm 33, 1, "for praise is comely for the upright." Some translations say fitting. The Amplified says, "For praise is becoming and appropriate for those who are upright in heart." The Basic Translation says, "For praise is beautiful for the upright." Another word for praise is to boast. Another word for praise is to boast. You can look that up, or to brag, or to rave about. That would be appropriate. So when you look at this, I just looked this up here. It says, when you rave about something, it says to talk about. This is just from the dictionary. When you rave about something, it means to talk with extreme enthusiasm. So that means I'm excited. I'm enthused with God. I'm enthused with something, and I'm boasting and raving about it. I'm just, if you don't rave about your salvation, something's wrong. I think about it. Those times, those days, I just say, "Thank you, Jesus. I've got nothing else to thank you about. I'm thanking you just because I'm saved, just because I'm delivered, just because I don't live like I used to live, that I'm growing in Christ. I can thank you that I have peace." Yeah, there's pressures in life. There's all kinds of things going on, but I just thank you that I'm healed. I'm thank you that all my needs are met. I just thank you that I have peace of mind. And you just boast. That gives thanks to him. You're doing what? You're bragging and boasting about something that you know has happened to you, right? So you can't rave about something or boast about something and meditate upon the problem. You can't do it. You got to start thanking him for something, and in these cases here, something you've already experienced. And so for me, I mean, I know there were times that I just began to choose to laugh at circumstances. You just have to do it. You just got to say, "Ha, ha, ha," and you laugh at something. Say, "Okay, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to laugh at it." That takes faith to laugh at a circumstance. But when it says he always causes us to triumph in Christ, you can laugh because you have the victory. He giveth us the victory in Christ. Hallelujah. So you just have to choose to do that. You have to do what? You have to just say, "You know what? I'm just going to laugh at this. I'm going to laugh at this circumstance. Because I have the victory. I'm going to laugh at it." And that's what God is looking for. You know, it's going to take, you know, when God gives direction, whether it's for you personally or for a church, you know, any time that God gives you instructions to do something, all of us will look at it and go, "I'm not qualified to do that. I don't have the ability to do that." He didn't ask your opinion. He didn't ask your opinion on whether you were qualified or not. He just said, "Go ahead and do it." And he will do what? He will grace you to do that. He will qualify. What does that mean? Qualify. It means he will give you the ability to do it. He will give you the grace to do that. That's why when it says here, the more grace that gets poured out on the people, the more thanksgiving there is. So you can, before you even start something, you can say, "Thank you, Lord, that you're giving me the ability to do this." That takes faith, but you're going to have to do that. That's why sometimes when people say, well, you know, I'm not qualified to do that, and I don't feel led to do that because I'm not qualified to do that, you need to go and ask God and say, look, God, do you want me to do that? Because a lot of times people are looking at themselves, whether they're qualified, and they're not asking God, do you want me to do that? Because he will grace you to do things that in the natural you may not have the qualifications to do that. Now, I'm certainly not against education, and certainly, you know, you certainly don't want to say, well, I can play the piano when you never took a lesson. But you may never have taken a lesson, but maybe you said, I have a desire to play, and maybe you didn't just pick it up and start, and God will assist you. But you understand my point, that we need to give God thanks in the middle of life, and give God thanks in the middle of whether you're on the top of the mountain or you're down walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You need to give him thanks, because he will walk you through it. He'll see you through it. And he'll guide you. He'll lead you. Amen? Amen. Amen. I know you're excited about this, because I am. Hallelujah. God will see us through if we'll boast upon him, give him thanks. I just want to read that scripture again, because that complete Jewish Bible just blesses me. Let me read it one more time. It says here, this particular scripture verse in 2 Corinthians. Oops, let me get over here. 2 Corinthians 4:15. It says, all this is for your sakes, so that as grace flows out to more and more people, it may cause thanksgiving to overflow and bring glory to God. Hallelujah. So as more and more grace pours out upon more and more people, it will cause more thanksgiving to God and bring him glory. Give him glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for giving us the guidance. Thank you for your grace upon our lives. We lift up and thank you. We give you glory and honor. We thank you for the grace that you've given us, grace of healing, grace of salvation, grace of deliverance. Thank you, Father, that through your grace that we have even access to you. So we thank you, and we give you honor, and we boast upon that and thank you for it. And Father, that just like your word says, if we're not going to let the rocks cry out for us. So Father, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. So Father, we thank you and give you glory today. We honor you, we bless you, and we thank you for it. Thank you for being so good to us, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God.